from Joshua chapter 2. Joshua chapter 2, as we continue our study of this book. Tonight we'll read the 24 verses of this chapter. Joshua 2, beginning at verse 1, what we hear now is God's word. And Joshua, the son of Nun, sent two men secretly from Shittim as spies, saying, "Go view the land, especially Jericho." And they went and came into the house of a prostitute whose name was Rahab and lodged there. And it was told to the king of Jericho, "Behold, men of Israel have come here tonight to search out the land." Then the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, "Bring out the men who have come to you, who entered your house, for they have come to search out all the land." But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. And she said, "True, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from." And when the gate was about to be closed at dark, the men went out. "I do not know where the men went. Pursue them quickly, for you will overtake them." But she had brought them up to the roof and hid them in the stalks of flax that she had laid in order on the roof. So the men pursued after them on the way to the Jordan as far as the fords, and the gate was shut as soon as the pursuers had gone out. Before the men lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to the men, "I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that the fear of you has fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land melt away before you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and Og, whom you devoted to destruction. And as soon as we heard it, our hearts melted, and there was no spirit left in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in the heavens above and on the earth beneath. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that as I have dealt kindly with you, so also will deal kindly with my father's house and give me a sure sign that you will save alive my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them and deliver our lives from death." And the men said to her, "Our life for yours, even to death. If you do not tell this business of ours, then when the Lord gives us the land, we will deal kindly and faithfully with you." Then she let them down by a rope through the window, for her house was built into the city wall, so that she lived in the wall. And she said to them, "Go into the hills, or the pursuers will encounter you, and hide there 3 days till the pursuers have returned. Then afterward you may go on your way." And the men said to her, "We will be guiltless with respect to this oath of yours that you have made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, you shall tie this scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down. And you shall gather into your house your father and mother, your brothers, and all your father's household. Then if anyone goes out of the doors of your house into the street, his blood shall be on his own head, and we shall be guiltless. But if a hand is laid on anyone who is with you in the house, his blood shall be on our head. But if you tell this business of ours, then we shall be guiltless with respect to your oath that you have made us swear." And she said, "According to your words, so be it." Then she sent them away, and they departed. And she tied the scarlet cord in the window. They departed and went into the hills and remained there 3 days until the pursuers returned. And the pursuers searched all along the way and found nothing. Then the two men returned. They came down from the hills and passed over and came to Joshua, the son of Nun. And they told him all that had happened to them. And they said to Joshua, "Truly, the Lord has given all the land into our hands. And also all the inhabitants of the land melt away because of us." Here we end the reading of God's holy word. Well, we started a series of sermons last week on the book of Joshua. And you remember, children, that I pointed out how in Joshua chapter 1, the theme of the text kind of jumps off the page for us. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and very courageous. Be strong and courageous. 4 times in chapter 1, that refrain for the people of God. A word of encouragement from God Himself. In times of transition, in times of challenge, be strong and courageous, for God is with you. That same message continues in chapter 2. Chapters 1 and 2 really form the introduction to the book of Joshua. The heart of the story starts in chapter 3 and crossing over in the conquest of the land. 1 and 2 serve as an introduction for us, both with the same message. A message that seeks to strengthen faith. And that's what we're going to look at tonight. Last week, the faith of Joshua, the faith of the people strengthened by God Himself. Tonight, faith strengthened through the words of a foreigner. Faith strengthened through the words of a Canaanite. Faith strengthened through the words of a prostitute. God uses Rahab, this outsider, to strengthen the faith of God's people. Joshua is a book that reminds us of God's faithfulness. God's faithfulness to His people. And we'll see that again and again, that God will use various means and various ways. But the central message is God will be faithful to His promises. God will be faithful to His word. You can be assured, you can be strengthened in faith, because He will not fail. Joshua sends spies out from Shittim to go and look at the land, especially the Jericho. Now, I think we have to say, first of all, perhaps even in passing, this is not an evidence of lack of faith on Joshua's part. God had told them, I will give you the land. So does Joshua say, well, God's going to give us the land. I guess we can just sit back and not do anything. I guess we can just sit back and wait for God to act. But that's not how it goes. God gives Joshua, if I can use the words, a sanctified common sense to go ahead and follow the regular procedures for God accomplishing His will. Joshua doesn't say, okay, God, you just do it for us. But he does the normal things, the preparation things that you would do when you're going to go into battle. He sends out spies. This doesn't evidence a lack of faith on Joshua's part. This is faith in the Word of God. That as God is going to go before us, we will fulfill our responsibility to act as He would have us act as the people of faith. So He sends out the spies to view the land. Go and take a look, Joshua says. But they got much more than a look. They not only got to see what was going on in the land, but they got to hear. They got to listen. They got to find out what was going on in the lives in the people in Canaan. And this is for the spies a huge encouragement. God strengthens their faith through the words that they hear. Not only what they see, but the words that they hear. They speak with Rahab, the prostitute. They go into her home for shelter for the night. And they get more than just shelter. They get a message about what's going on in Canaan. Verse 8, before the men lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land. That's the first message they hear. The Canaanites already know God's going to be victorious. We know, she says, that our end is sure. Our destruction is coming. God has already given you this land. We know what's coming. Which is why it's no surprise that the king would send out men to investigate these spies. That's a normal thing to do. Spies come in the land and the king responds. Verse 3. And it was told to the king of Jericho, behold, men of Israel have come here tonight to search out the land. The king of Jericho sent to Rahab saying, bring out the men who have come to you. They expected the spies. They knew Israel's coming. They can see this mass of people. And beyond that they know, the Lord has already given our land to you. But beyond that, they hear this. Verse 9. The Lord has given you the land, and the fear of you has fallen upon us, and all the inhabitants of the land melt away before you." The Canaanites, knowing that the people of Israel are coming, don't first of all brace themselves for battle. Don't say to the army, "Now you be strong and courageous." But their hearts melt with fear. What an encouragement to those coming to give a report about the land. Already the people aren't bracing for an attack. They're melting away. "The fear of you has fallen upon us. All the inhabitants melt away before you. For we have heard what the Lord has done. We've heard about you. We know that God fights for you. We have heard how he dried up the water of the Red Sea when you came out of Egypt. A God who is that powerful is coming against Canaan." Is it any wonder that they shrunk away in fear? "We have heard what you did to the kings of the Amorites, to Sihon and Og, how you totally devoted them to destruction, how you went right over them." They know. They know what's coming. And fear falls upon them. Not steeling themselves for battle, but melting like wax. For God is coming. In some ways, almost a reversal of the other spy story we have with regard to Canaan. Remember that, children, back in the book of Numbers, how Moses sent out spies, 12 spies, to go into the land. And 10 came back with this report. Oh, there are giants living there. We can't take the land. Oh, there's reason to be fear. Israel's heart melted. Except for two men, Joshua and Caleb. And now Joshua sends out spies. And what a change that has taken place. Now Canaan is afraid. Now they are melting with fear. God is being faithful to the word he had spoken to his people years earlier. As they were coming out of Egypt, we read in Deuteronomy chapter 25, chapter 2, verse 25, "This day I will begin to put the dread of the fear of you on the peoples who are under the whole heaven. You who shall hear the report of you, they will tremble and be in anguish because of you." God told Israel, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to make them fear. I'm going to make them afraid. And God here fulfills his word exactly. Again, from Deuteronomy chapter 11. And verse 25, "No one shall be able to stand against you. The Lord your God will lay the fear of you and the dread of you on all the land, and you shall tread as he promised you." The people shake with fear. Why so afraid? True, Israel was a big army. But what does Rahab tell them? What was the source of their fear? Verse 11. "As soon as we heard it, our hearts melted, and there was no spirit left in any man because of you." Why? "For the Lord your God, he is God in the heavens above and on the earth beneath." That's the reason for the fear of the Canaanites. Not so much the fear of men, what Israel could accomplish, but the fear of their God. They had heard what he had done, that he was the God of the heavens, that he was the God of the earth, that he was the God of miracles, that he was the God of victory. And they are encouraged in their faith. They can go back and give a good report because the people are afraid of God and what he has done. And that is the theme that also runs through Joshua. It is not the people's conquest, it is God's conquest. As he leads his people exactly where he wants them to be, into the promised land. God goes ahead of them because of the Lord your God, the God of heaven, the God of earth. We're melting away with fear. God strengthens the faith of the spies through the words of Rahab. And we don't know exactly how it is that God began to work in the life of Rahab. But he strengthens the kernel of faith that she has as well. Rahab took a huge risk here, children, in talking to the spies. She took a huge risk in welcoming them into her home and then hiding them. And beyond that, when the men came, she lied about it. She took a huge risk in breaking with her people and aligning herself with the people of God. But yet, as she took that step in faith, God assures her and strengthens her and develops faith within her. She says, verse 12, "And now, please swear to me by the Lord that as I have dealt kindly with you, you also will deal kindly with my father's house and give me a sure sign that you will save me." She, by embracing the God of Israel, secures a promise from the spies. I'm always struck that in God's providence, it was Rahab to whom the spies went. Rahab the prostitute. That's really her whole name. Virtually every time she is referred to in Scripture, it's not just Rahab, it's Rahab the prostitute. This woman of ill repute. This woman of shame. You know, in my last charge, I baptized 70 children. In the space of 12 years. Not one of those little girls was named Rahab. But you know, maybe they should be. Rahab, the prostitute, she is the one who God chooses to accomplish His purposes. She is the one who in Hebrews 11, with the great heroes of faith, with Abraham, with David, with Moses, Rahab the prostitute, listed as a hero of faith. In James chapter 2, he is giving evidence for a living faith, and James uses two prominent people from the past to speak about a living faith. One is Abraham. Well, that doesn't surprise us. The other is Rahab. James 2, verse 25. "In the same way, was not also Rahab the prostitute justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way?" This one chosen by God. This one chosen to accomplish His purposes. And what a wonderful comfort that gives us. God does not in this story come to a fine, upstanding citizen in Canaan. He doesn't come to a prince. He doesn't come to a king. He doesn't come to a ruler. He doesn't come to a merchant. God demonstrates His love by coming to a prostitute. What an encouragement to us. When we think about our life, when we think about the things we have done, the choices we have made, it is so easy for us to say, "God would have nothing to do with me. I've done too much. I've gone too far." Remember Rahab. God comes to the prostitute. God chooses her to accomplish His purposes. And beyond that, in Matthew chapter 1, she is listed with the ancestors of Jesus. This one brought in and not given a chair in the back of church. Oh, that's where Rahab the prostitute sits. No, this one in the line of Christ. God comes and He chooses the unworthy, the unlovable, and He makes them His own and uses them for His purposes. Oh, what a glorious strengthening of her faith, of our faith. And that blessing was for Rahab and was for her family. for her father, for her mother, for her brothers and sisters, for all who belong to that family. And again, we are not surprised, because that's how God works. That's the beauty of the covenant. I will be a God to you, and I will include your family in the promises. That's what we see every baptism, a God to you and to your children. God works with families to give His grace. And we see that again here so beautifully in Joshua chapter 2. The promise for Rahab, the prostitute, and for all who are with her. But notice that as she enters this agreement, this deal with people, there is an obligation on her part as well. Now, verse 14. The men said to her, "Our life for yours, even to death. If you do not tell this business of ours, then when the Lord gives us the land, we will deal kindly and faithfully with you." And again, verse 20. "But if you tell this business of ours, then we shall be guiltless with respect to our oath that you have made us swear." And she said, "According to your words, so be it." She agreed their life for her life. But then she was told that there are certain things she had to do. First of all, she had to put a cord in the window. Let's see, I believe that's verse 17. The men said to her, "We will be guiltless with respect to this oath of yours you made us swear. Oh no, behold, when we come to the land, you shall tie this scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down, and you shall gather into your house your father and mother, your brothers, and all your father's household." There had to be a visible obligation on Rahab's part. This scarlet cord put in the window. Now, many commentaries have done a lot with that scarlet cord and the very types of symbolism and typology we might see there. At the very least, we say it was a visible sign. It was a visible marker that set Rahab's household apart from all the rest. And her family was to be within the house. And this, too, is instructive for us. When we, by faith, embrace the truth of the gospel, when we, by faith, declare that this God of heaven and earth is our God and our Lord, there should be a visible difference. Oh, not in our appearance, but a visible difference in the way that we live. It should be as obvious as a scarlet cord tied around a window. Something's different about this person. Something's different about this household. They do things in a particular way. Because God is their God. Rahab would set herself apart from the Canaanites. She would look different from them. Her household would look differently. As a reminder that something had happened. Something had changed. She had been called by God and embraced that call. And her family was to be inside the house. Within this covenant household, there was safety. Within this covenant household, there was security. Within this covenant household, and only in this household, would there be life for the Canaanites. God calls us into a relationship with Him. We respond by faith and we confess and join the family of God. A visible difference in the way that we live. We look different tonight. Our non-Christian friends are doing other things this Lord's Day evening. They are not worshiping inside the household of faith. And within the household of faith is where the security is. Within the household of faith is where God acts and strengthens the faith of His people as we remain inside. What a reminder to us as we grow as children to teenagers. We begin to want to stretch the boundaries that perhaps our parents have given to us. We want to push the edge of the envelope that our elders have given to us. I think that's even amplified in college, if my own experience is any measure. It is within the covenant community that we find safety. It is easy to say, I don't need the church. I don't want to go to church. But here is where God dwells by His Spirit. Here is where you are strengthened in faith. Oh, there are many other things we could do tonight. But God is present here to strengthen you and your faith. As we hear this story of our obligation, and she is to be within the house and not go back to the Canaanite ways, not repeat the words they have talked about, not give up the Israelites. She can't make the choice once and then go back and act like a Canaanite. No, she has to continue in the profession that she has made. Your God is God. And so too with us. We must continue in the profession that we have made. Continue to walk by faith. The Christian life is not a one-time decision to follow God. It is an ongoing walk, day by day by day by day. And then every Lord's Day coming to be strengthened for the next week of walking. God strengthens faith. God brings along Rahab the prostitute. This one who was the last of choices. And she then has the obligation to persevere in her confession, to persevere in her walk with God. Are we doing that in our walk of faith? Having recognized the God of the heavens and the earth, are we continuing to be strengthened in our faith? To hear the Word of God regularly in our daily devotions, in our weekly church attendance, as that word is given to us again. God obligates you to continue to persevere in the faith you profess. God strengthens the faith of the spies through Rahab's word. God strengthens Rahab herself through her own words and what she has done. And then the spies come back. Verse 23. Then the two men departed. They came down from the hills and passed over and came to Joshua, son of Nun. And they told him all that had happened to them. And they said to Joshua, truly, the Lord has given all the land into our hands. And also, all the inhabitants melt away because of us. God strengthens Joshua once again through the report of the spies. How God was good to them. How He protected them. How He provided sanctuary for them. How they came out and were safe and got back to Joshua. Even that was a wonderful blessing. The spies go out, they do the reconnaissance, and they come back safely. And Joshua is encouraged that God is in control and He is strengthening His people. And encouraged through the report of Rahab and what happened to her. The words that she spoke about the Canaanites and about herself. That she would recognize the God of the heavens and the earth. The men report these things back to Joshua. They told the story. They reported the conversion of a prostitute. They reported God going ahead of them into battle. And the inhabitants melting away. They told the story again. The stories of faith, of our faith, need to be told again and again. We need to pass those stories along to our children. Telling them again how God has gone ahead of us in difficult times. We need to share those stories with each other as the covenant community. I so look forward to getting to know you better. I'm still working on names and faces as it is. But as time goes on, to get to know you, not only who your mom and dad are and where you grew up, but about your walk with the Lord. Because God takes us through various different paths to bring us exactly where He wants us. And I hope that you share those stories with each other. What God is doing in your life. Oh, it's fine to talk about the local things going on, the activities at the college, or how the baseball teams are doing, or things like that. But there is a time also
to share the story of our faith with each other. How God brought you to this church. To come to decide, this is the place I should worship. How God brought you to faith. Whether that be through the ongoing training as a child, brought up in the Christian faith, or one suddenly confronted with the gospel. But to tell the story again, to report, to recount to each other that God is active. Because you see, that gives us encouragement. Encouragement for those of us who have family members who are not walking with the Lord, who have close friends who don't confess the name of Christ, to remind each other God is still at work. He is still calling Rahab the prostitute. He is still calling His children to be His. And when we have wayward children or unsaved family, we take solace and comfort in that. God is still at work, strengthening the faith of His people. So we recount the stories to each other, the stories of God's goodness. God continues to strengthen the faith of His people. And I pray that He does that tonight through this story in Joshua chapter 2, the story of Rahab. Rahab, who begins the story simply as Rahab the prostitute, who ends the story, Rahab the prostitute, the child of God. May we be encouraged and strengthened in our faith. Let's pray together. Lord our God, we thank You for Your word. A word that records to us Your way with Your people. And different ways with different people. It is so easy for us to forget that we align ourselves in the story not so much with Joshua, not so much with the spies, but we align ourselves with Rahab. One outside the covenant community who needed to be brought in. And one who by Your grace was. May we go forth strengthened, prepared, ready to face the week ahead, knowing that we belong to You. May we continually, O God, use the strength and faith You have given us to put our trust in You again and again and again for all that we need. Hear our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.